What a privilege for me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you today. Thank you for joining this broadcast of The Love Way. Before I start in the message, I just first want to thank every person that sponsors this program. Thank you for the people that spontaneously just paid money into the account. God bless you. And I believe that my God will meet your needs according to His riches in glory. Hallelujah. Not according to what you've done, but according to the riches that is in His glory. Amen. The Bible says that there's a former glory and a latter glory. And the greater glory is the one of the New Testament. So we're going to receive, and now that's my prayer over you. I thank God that you'll receive out of His glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for just being so spontaneous. Everybody that sends an SMS, man, thank you. God bless you. What a privilege. You know, I spoke to one of my friends that also broadcast on this very same station. He said, you know, when somebody sends an SMS or an email or something, ask a question, it's such a blessing to us because we know people's lives are being touched by this program. We know that thousands of people are listening, but when somebody responds, it means he's been touched to the point that he's willing to respond. Thank you for that. God bless you. Let's get into the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and from verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, when we talk about faith, there's been so many misunderstandings about faith. The greatest thing that I've seen in the kingdom of God is people want to take the faith message and the word faith and want to make it part of the law. And that's the very thing that the enemy would want to happen. What he wants is that the system that does not exist anymore today, which is the law system, which has been done away with, he wants to re-implement that because he knows that is the only way in which he can have power over the human race. Colossians chapter 2 verses 14 says that he's been disarmed by Jesus nailing the law to the cross. The devil has been disarmed by Jesus nailing the law to the cross. Now, what does disarmed mean? Disarmed doesn't mean that the Lord ripped his arms off. No, what it means is the armor that he uses to make war against you has been taken away. And then he's been defeated completely. He's been rendered powerless by the law being taken away. So the power that the devil had over people was to accuse them, to bring guilt and condemnation into their life by using a system called the law or do's and don'ts, which had ordinances or rules. Now, so many times we've got rules by which we try to live. And one of the rules is faith. We want to make faith something that we must do in order for God to act in our lives. Now, that is not what faith is. And the thing that I've realized while I studied this, and it just came to my mind, such a practical thing to say, faith is not something you do, but something that happens to you when you realize what Jesus has done. Faith is not something you do. It's something that happens to you. What we've said is that the word faith means to be persuaded. Now, persuasion comes by hearing something. If a salesman comes to your house and he wants to sell something and he knocks at your door, you don't want him to put his foot in your house sometimes because you know the moment he gets a foot in the door, he's going to sell that thing. You don't want it. He comes to your house, he presents the whole thing, he tells you that you actually need this thing, and after a lot of talk, you become persuaded. Faith in that product wasn't something you applied willingly. It was something that happened to you once you heard the word. But there's a place in every person's life where he hears the faith, where the faith comes into his heart, and he has to make a decision if he is going to flow with that or not. So many times we get faith in our hearts, but we get persuaded about something, but there's just something deep in us, in our belief system, in our trust that makes us that we cannot buy that thing or get into what God tells us. Hallelujah. Now, faith is persuasion. If you can be persuaded of the Word of God, you'll find hope in your life and all the other good things. Today I want to get more into the word trust that we find in verse 6. But before we get to verse 6, I just want to lay the foundation that everybody, maybe you're watching this for the first time today, that you can also understand. Being persuaded by the Word of God, by hearing the Word of God, which is the message of what Jesus Christ has done, that persuasion is the foundation from where you will expect something from God. It's also the foundation of your trust in God. You cannot, this can be shocking, but I want to say this to you. You cannot faith for something. You cannot faith for something. Nowhere in the Bible, let's take it this way. Say you want an aeroplane. Now you say, I believe for an aeroplane. You cannot do that. Nowhere in the Bible is it written that you will have an aeroplane. Nowhere. It's not written anywhere. Now don't switch the television off. Listen to what I've got to say. Nowhere in this Bible, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's Word. Show me in this Word, the word aeroplane. It's not written there, not once. Didn't even exist by the time this was written. But the Word, if we understand the Word it, to the full, what Jesus has done for us, you will realize that all things belongs to you, and whatsoever you desire, whatsoever you want, if you ask, you can have it. Be it an aeroplane, be it whatever. But the foundation is the Word of God. So faith is not towards stuff. You cannot faith for something, and you cannot believe for something. Faith and believe doesn't go with the word for. Faith and believe goes with a little word called in. We faith in God. We believe in God. And because we believe in Him and who He is and in what He's done, we've got an expectation and a hope which rests upon our belief and our faith in Him. And that the Bible says hope does not make ashamed, or hope comes forth in Romans 5 verse 5. Why? Because the message of God's love, the message of in Him, is shed abroad in our hearts. Now we're going to get into that, and that's just going to bless you, man. I know this is a bit different to what you used to, but let me just repeat myself. You cannot faith for something. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is persuasion. Now, if the Word of God comes and tells me what Jesus Christ has done and what I receive through what He has done, I am persuaded of what He says. When I'm persuaded and says, He was made righteous, therefore I'm righteous. He's got no needs, therefore I've got no needs. The desire of the heart of Jesus has been given unto Him, that's why it's given unto me. I faith in that. I'm persuaded of what He has done. Faith goes together with what, together with the deeds of Jesus. I faith in what He's done. I am persuaded of what He's done. The word faith means persuasion. You can replace it with the word to be persuaded. Now, to be persuaded is the substance of things hoped for. To be persuaded of what? The Bible says faith comes by hearing. Persuasion comes by hearing what Jesus Christ has done for you freely. And then you are persuaded of that. When you are persuaded of what He's done, it says something about the character of God. When you are persuaded of what somebody's done, it says something about the guy who's done the thing. If somebody's always on time, if somebody's place is always neat, if somebody does everything, most of the stuff right all the time, considers people, it says something about him. If somebody's nasty to you, if somebody speaks harshly to you, if somebody doesn't honor you, it says something about him. Now, the same with faith, belief, and hope. When you hear what Jesus has done, you are persuaded of that to the point that it influences your will. That's the word faith. To be persuaded to the point that it influences your will by looking upon what Jesus Christ has done. Now, when you look upon what Jesus has done, something happens to your belief system, which is called your heart. The Bible says with the heart we believe. You don't believe with your mind. You believe with your heart. The Bible says your heart can be crooked, your heart can be twisted, your heart can be sick. You can have a heart that's tired, a depressed heart. But your heart, that's the place where the word is sown. That's the place where your whole, the thing you see of God, what is done for you is sown. And that changes or gets into your belief system and you start to believe who God is. If you look at what Jesus has done, Jesus came, He represented the Father. He paid for our sins. He was resurrected. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, all on our behalf. And God gave Him freely. What does that say about God? And about His perspective about us? It says that He loves us, that we are valuable, that we are precious. It says that He gave His everything. It says that we are as valuable to Him as what Jesus is. It says that He will continue to do the same. That's the type of person He is. He's lovable. He's a person that forgives. He's a person that sheds forth healing. He's a merciful God. He's gracious. That's what it says about who He is. Now, when we see who He is and we get persuaded about that as well, that's what we call trust. We start to trust Him. Now, there's many people that take the Bible, take the promises, start to quote the promises, and they say, well, I believe, and the reason why we say we're going to receive the promise is because it's written in the Bible. Now, I've got good news for you. You're not going to receive something because it's written in the Bible. The good news is this. You're going to receive something because Jesus paved the way. He is the way unto the manifestation of that promise. The Bible says all the promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Not in your confessing until you blew in the face. It is yes and amen in Jesus. If we can see what Jesus has done for us for free, if we can be persuaded to say, man, I know. All things has been given to me. Like Prophet Quibus van Rensburg said, and this is a practical example. Let's just read Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Let's read from verse 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, when I read that scripture and I think of what Jesus has done, it means that when I seek righteousness, when I connect righteousness with finances and provision, that's when I will receive. So, because He's been made righteous, it means I'm going to prosper financially. Now, that's the reasoning of the Word of God. Because of what one man has done, He's done that for all men. Now, let's take that reasoning, put it in Matthew chapter 6. And you might say, Bertie, how can you interpret the Word of God that way? Let me tell you why I interpret that way. That reasoning is called the Word of God. And if you don't take that reasoning and apply it to not just Matthew 7 or Matthew 6, but to every scripture in the Word, you'll never see the Word in that scripture. Remember what I said. The Bible contains the Word. Let's take the Word, which is Jesus, which is this computation. One man died, which was Adam. One man obeyed on behalf of all men. Let's take that computation, which is the Word of God, apply it in what Jesus said here, and you'll see a miracle happen in front of your eyes. And let's do it again. It says, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of, not some, but all of these things. How will we receive all these things? Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God. What is God's kingdom? It is the way He functions. The way He rules, isn't it? A kingdom is a place where somebody rules. How does He rule? He rules through one man's obedience, Jesus. So He says, first seek God's kingdom. First seek what God did in Jesus. That's the kingdom. Hallelujah. The Bible says the kingdom of God is in us. What is that? It is His rulership. It's His Holy Spirit being given unto us. It's what Jesus has done. That's the pivot point of His whole kingdom. Around everything pivots around what Jesus has done relating to us. Hallelujah. God's relationship with us pivots around Jesus. That is His kingdom towards us. Amen. He says, first seek the kingdom, His way of ruling, and His righteousness. You know how many times when it comes to finances, we seek our righteousness. Once we are righteous, once we've done all the right deeds financially, then God will bless us. That's not what this is. This says that if we seek His righteousness, how do we seek His righteousness? He was made sin so that we might be made His righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now you see, if we don't have that principle in our minds, that word in our minds, how will we be persuaded when it comes to finances? How will we trust that God will meet our needs if we don't know that even finances, even peace, joy, everything has been included in one man becoming sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God? If that's not your computation around a certain topic, you will not have the right persuasion concerning that, and that's why you don't receive, because you don't have any faith. That's it. You can believe, you can confess, you can walk around your house confessing until there's a path around your house. Man, I tell you, you can become tired trying to believe to get God to do something. But if it's not faith, but unbelief or presumption, or I don't know what you want to call it, but not being persuaded in that certain area because of what Jesus has done, you will struggle to receive. It will be an effort all your life. Thank you, Jesus. Bertie, how do you receive finances? By the scripture, the way it says, yeah. That's it. Do you know why God cares for me? Because I'm valuable to Him. That's it, because He's my Father. The scripture says that the Gentiles seek after all these beautiful things. God says you need it. Now I tell you, before you believe that God loves you and He's a Father that cares for you, and you've got the persuasion of what Jesus has freely done to you, and you can connect that to finances, you will never be able to say those words with faith in your heart. When I see a beautiful, the newest model video camera, you know what? God says you need that. You need that. Hallelujah. That's it. If you can do the same in your life. If I see a nice jacket, you know what? God says, my son, you need that. The Gentile seek it, that means you need it. Now, I can just feel, you know, in myself, your mind doesn't want to settle for that because your mind has been taught all the years that's not the way that it's supposed to be. But I thank God that my mind's being renewed. When I say that, I just say, man, yes, hallelujah, amen. That's it. When I look at the nations, you know what? And I look at a lot of people, and I feel inside my heart, I want to minister to the millions. You know what comes up in my heart? God says, that's yours. That is yours. But Bertie, I can say God will just give it to you on the basis of how much you are worth. You know why I believe like that? Because I've got the persuasion, the way God thinks, I start to make that my meditation, and it became reality to me, and I realized that God moves towards us on the basis of who He is and who He made us, and He made us valuable to Him. The Bible says, look at the birds of the air. Neither do they sow, nor do they reap, neither do they gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? So what's the basis? The basis of provision in my life is the value that God places on my life in His heart. Hallelujah. That's the word trust. Man, thank you, Jesus. I know this is shocking, but this is God's gospel truth, man. This is what will set you free. Let's quickly go back to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're just going to go through this thing. Man, it feels to me as if I cannot repeat this enough. Maybe you might say, Bertie, but you're repeating yourself all the time. Well, hallelujah. The more you can hear it, the more I can hear it, the better. I tell you, as I'm sitting here, and this is the power of repeating the Word of God, the more I repeat the Word of God, the more I hear the Word of God, even as I'm ministering right now, it feels like a force coming into my heart, man. It feels like I want to explode. It feels like light shining out of me. Because the Word is light. And the entrance of the Word gives light. So the more you repeat that Word, what is the Word? God's meditation about a certain thing. Now faith, being persuaded because you start to reason like God, and that influences your will, is the foundation of the things you hoped for. It is the evidence, it brings forth that thing, of the things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 6, but without faith, without the right persuasion, because of God's reasoning, it's impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe. Now what it says there, without faith, you will not have belief. Without the right persuasion, you will not be able to believe God. Now that word believe means trust. And we're just going to look into some of the meanings of the word trust in the Webster's. And that's so powerful. I mean, this is going to just, like Reinhard Bonnke says, knock you off your sofa. Hallelujah. Let's read verse 6 again. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without the right persuasion, it is impossible to be pleasing unto God, for he that comes to God must believe. Without the right persuasion, you will not be able to believe. Now let me explain that. The word trust means, or the word believe then, means a reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship or sound principle of another person. So if I believe God, let me put it this way. If I believe God, it means my mind rests upon God's integrity, God's veracity, God's justice, God's friendship with me, and God's sound principles. Hallelujah. Now, man, that is... oh, that's the gospel. That's the good news, man. Get your heart established in this and you will find faith happening to you. You'll find a trust that just is above everything. You know what's happening to me? When it comes to certain areas in my life where I always had fear because things didn't look right, I am fearless. I have not received the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and soundness of mind. Now, if God gives me that spirit, by what did He give me that spirit? The Bible says, have you received the spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of the persuasion, faith? You will not have the spirit of God, and what I mean by that is you will walk by fear, doubt, and unbelief if you cannot have the right persuasion. That's why it's so important not to be under the do's and don'ts regulation thing. It's going to mess you up. That's it. Now, reliance or the resting of the mind must be in the integrity of God, not your integrity. The veracity. Now the word veracity means the habitual observance of truth. My mind rests in the fact that God habitually observes the truth. And Jesus is the truth, isn't it? He said, I'm the way, the truth. So when God comes to me, the fact that I can trust that He will bless me is because I know He habitually observes Jesus and not my old works or the law. Hallelujah. Man, that is good news. You might say, Bert, you're too full of yourself. Oh man, I tell you, Jesus, I just see Jesus and what He's done. Man, I think we're running out of time, but let's just for once read verse 6 again. It says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a reward of them that diligently seek Him. Without the right persuasion, because of the good news word, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because you cannot trust Him. You will not be able to trust God without the right reasoning. Let me give you a practical example. In the next session, we're going to continue with this. If you think that God only forgives you the moment you confess your sin, you know what's going to happen to you? As long as what you don't forgive, you're going to think God's got something against you. Isn't that? You're not going to trust God to pour out love onto you because you think He has not forgiven you because you have still not confessed. That's it. Now I've got good news for you. All your sins has been dealt with in Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. The moment you confess that, you just receive that freedom. But God's heart towards you is always good. He died for the sinners. Man, we're running out of time. Please tune in to the next broadcast. Make use of our ministry products. You'll see what we've got available at the end of this session. Write to us. Let us know what God's doing in your heart, man. It's good to hear that. Apply this to your sick body. You'll be healed. You'll have a miracle in your life. Amen. God bless you and God loves you.